Now that the game is done, it's our time to check in.
Spins inside, tough move and tough finish. Kyle Kuzma strikes again. Kuz has now scored 7 straight points for the Bucks.
Butts Talk starts now.
Pistons avenge their Wednesday night loss at Fiserv Forum as they take down the Bucks tonight, 124-112, our final score.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios, here's Justin Garcia.
Well, you knew you were going to be facing an uphill battle tonight for a number of reasons. You know Giannis is going to be out for another couple of weeks yet, at least. Doc Rivers saying before the Sixers game last night that if he had to guess, he would say it's going to be closer to the 4-week timeline. I think we're all kind of there. So there's going to be at least 8, 9, 10 more of these games in the short term that you're playing without Giannis. Now, it was compounded tonight when we learned AJ Green was going to miss this game as well, which I think was pretty obvious is what we should have anticipated when you heard Doc Rivers talk last night and seemed rather discouraged with that shoulder contusion that AJ suffered, even though it's on the non-shooting shoulder. But without Giannis on the floor, without one of the league's best three-point shooters, you know, just starting there with no Giannis, this isn't the Bucks of old, as we've said many times coming into the season and unfortunately many times through these first 25 games. By that, I mean there isn't a Damian Lillard. There isn't a Chris Middleton. There isn't a Jrue Holiday to say, okay, take us home here. You've seen a lot of nice things from Kevin Porter Jr. and Ryan Rollins and others, but it's a different makeup of the team. And without those pieces, without Giannis especially, you look at it and you say, well, your margin for error is zapped to almost non-existent. You almost need to play perfect basketball in this instance tonight against a very good Pistons team. But aside from that, you're going to have to hit threes. You're going to have to muck games up. You're going to have to win with defense. You're going to have to win on the margins. And without AJ Green, that reduces your chances of hitting a lot of threes, even though the Bucks hit 16 of them tonight. But it adds even more to how uphill this whole process is going to be, as we mentioned, for the next 2 to 4 weeks for this Bucks team. 855-616-1620 is the Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Last night, we spent a lot of time talking about expectations for this team and any potential shifts there, how you view the second half, how you view the final two-thirds of the season, essentially, as we are now quickly approaching the one-third mark at 25 games into the season and what the long-term plans are for this. There's other good takeaways here, but what's unfortunate for the Bucks is that hole is getting deeper and deeper. 855-616-1620, the Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. If you have any thoughts on what we tackled last night and the remainder of the season, what the goals should be for this group, how you approach the offseason, we can get back into that. But the bright spots from tonight, and especially the biggest one, which has been a constant bright spot throughout the course of this season. We'll talk about Kevin Porter Jr. coming up after this on Bucks Talk.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
.124-112 final tonight. Bucks come up short against the Pistons. And look, this season, these last couple of seasons, there's a lot of comeuppance that the Bucks are probably owed by the Central Division, and I think that's one of the things you're starting to see. We saw it last year with the Cleveland Cavaliers snapping the Bucks' reign of terror in owning the Central Division, and you're seeing it this year with the way the Pistons have approached these games. And look, you knew you were going to have an even greater motivated Pistons team tonight because of what happened on Wednesday night. But in that game on Wednesday and the previous game in Milwaukee against the Pistons, you could see the Pistons view these as statement games in that, you know, you dominated us for 7 years in this division. Laughable at times. You know, you think back to the first year of that era of Bucks basketball when the Bucks were the one seed and won 60 games and they drew the Pistons in the first round of the playoffs. And I think it has since been surpassed, but the margin of victory in that four-game sweep at the time was the largest in NBA playoff history. Regular season dominance, the one instance of postseason dominance as well. There's a lot of teams in that Central Division and in the Eastern Conference, frankly, that are looking at the Bucks right now and don't feel too bad about the injuries they're dealing with, about some of the other struggles that they're experiencing, and saying, hey, it's our turn now. And that's what it feels like you're seeing in Detroit. For the Bucks, it feels like it's Kevin Porter Jr.'s turn now. You don't have Giannis again for about a month, 2 to 4 weeks. And again, going off of what Doc Rivers said, I would assume it is, in fact, going to be the four-week timeline, which we went through it last night. I think probably going to put you back maybe the New Year's Eve game, maybe the first game afterwards that you have, I believe, January 2nd, somewhere around there for a Giannis return. Where are you going to be when that time on the calendar comes? Remains to be seen. You got some tough stretches of schedule in front of you with the Raptors out there, the Celtics, who, you know what, a week, 10 days ago, when we learned the schedule, it said it's not quite as bad as it could be. I mean, Boston is playing a lot better this year, but I still like my chances against Boston, assuming you have Giannis, and your road game's the Brooklyn Nets. Then Giannis goes down, and that changes. Then the Celtics just continue to pull out wins. They started the season 0-3. They're now 14-9. They've won 14 of their last 20 games, and they're doing this without Jason Tatum. They beat the Cavs, the Knicks, the Pistons. They've been racking up some big wins here, have the Boston Celtics. So where you're going to be come the first week of January may determine how you handle the rest of the season. We got into that quite a bit last night. I don't want to rehash it. But what you're going to see for the next month or so, I think, is a lot of Kevin Porter Jr. And there's a lot you probably have to learn and discover this season, which it may be an important, we're not quite there yet, but this may end up being an important reset season. We knew everything was going to change. We knew a lot of things were going to be different this season with, you know, just the last couple of years. Look at the names that have exited in Drew Holiday, then eventually Damian Lillard, Chris Middleton, Brook Lopez, Wesley Matthews, you go back beyond that, on and on and on, Pat Connaughton. The guys that were instrumental in big parts of that era, they're gone. It's just Giannis, Thanasis, and Bobby Portis. That's all that's left. So a lot of that institutional and corporate knowledge and chemistry, you got to reform that and redevelop that. You more importantly, you have to discover what your identity is. You know, that is one of the bigger challenges this team has faced the last couple of years. We thought they changed their identity on the fly, that, you know, for the first, 6 years of that era, you were a defensive team. 5 years. You were a defensive-minded team that had an offense that was really good in the regular season. In 2021, it proved to be good enough in the playoffs. 2022 is, it was not good by the numbers, but, you know, you went up against an incredible defense in Boston in the second round, and you unfortunately had to do that without Chris Middleton. But then you changed your identity to an offensive team, and I don't know if you've ever really found your footing there. So finding an identity and playing into that is going to be one of the big check marks here for the rest of this season. But Kevin Porter Jr. and his continued growth, we talked a lot about Ryan Rollins, and rightfully so, earlier in the season. Here may be, and we continue to hear silver lining from Doc Rivers. Here's what it is. Those two guys in the backcourt. And, you know, potentially Jericho Sims, right? There's still some pieces he has to iron out and work on the offensive side, but his ability to move his feet defensively, his rebounding ability, where at this point I think you have to say he's the best rebounder on the team, that's something too. But especially Kevin Porter Jr., and Ryan Rollins. That's your silver lining, to look at that and say, okay, even if this season goes south, even if it's not the results we expect or hope to see, we leave the season knowing we've got something in this backcourt with these two guys. Kevin Porter Jr. is going to get paid this summer. You know, we still got a long ways to go, but if he continues to play like this, we talked about it last year. There were some Bucks fans that thought, oh, man, he's going to be commanding the full mid-level or more. Maybe he's going to get $20 million from a team. You know, you got to have a sustained track record of doing that. Everybody knew about the talent with Kevin Porter Jr. The Bucks knew better than anyone. When you think back to, 2021, I believe it was, when he was a member of the Houston Rockets and put up a 50-point game against the Bucks. You knew the talent was there, but you needed to see it consistently. And by the numbers, Kevin Porter Jr. was one of the least efficient and statistically one of the worst offensive players in the league last year until he came to Milwaukee. And then for whatever reason, everything changed. You think back to that deal, too. You got Kevin Porter Jr. for Marjon Beauchamp and signed him to a 1+1 this past offseason. He can opt out. If he continues to play like this with now 2 30-point games, scoring in double figures in every single game he's played in so far this season and showing you the juice that he has, he is going to opt out. But you had some found money in Ryan Rollins. You have found money in A.J. Green. There's potential to have a really good draft pick this summer and to have the rest of those pieces. You've started to form a foundation, but what do you really have in those two pieces, right? How strong is that foundation? That may be what we find out for the rest of the year, or what you lean into finding out. But at this point, it's undeniable with Kevin Porter Jr. When you look at how he gets his points, what he does. And, you know, again, I keep saying this phrase that the skeleton of that team is in there when you think back to the first five games of the season and the way this team looked. When you think back to the brief, granted fleeting moments that you've had all of these guys on the floor together, Giannis with Kevin Porter Jr. and Ryan Rollins and the rest of the group, how they've looked in those stretches, it just hasn't been enough. And we heard Doc tonight say, we are closer to being a good team than we are a bad team now. I see that in this group. I don't know how long you can say that, though. You know, at some point, the record is what the record is. And that's going to be the challenge here go forward. The 2 days off or 4 days off, it's going to be 2 days that Doc said he gives the guys to just take this time, do with it what you will. We'll return to practice on Tuesday. We're going to do it in the afternoon, too. So if you want to get out of town, you want to clear your head, whatever, go ahead and do it. And we come back Tuesday. We're practicing 2 days, and we're playing the Celtics. Like, this is the reset that we need. You know, I said many times, December's going to be telling for the team because November was an outright disaster. You know, I know Giannis missed time with the injury. It wasn't just the Giannis injury. Even in the minutes and games that Giannis was on the floor in November, this team was not good. They did not play like a good team. So you came into the month saying that win that we had against the Brooklyn Nets, now you got the Wizards to start December. Let's use this as a launching point. Build some of that momentum. Maybe you can take 2 of 3 from the Pistons and the Sixers for the rest of the week and start to launch yourself and say, November's behind us. We're a different team in December. We're healthy. Here's where we go in our run. And then you stub your toe and lose to the Washington Wizards. And then Giannis gets hurt, and you're right back in that same spot. December's still going to be very telling for this group, and it may give you your answer of how do we approach the rest of the season. If it's another outright disaster like November was, then it starts to get pretty late, pretty early. 855-616-1620, the Siding Unlimited talk and text line. If you want to join us tonight on Bucks Talk, again, 124 to 112, the final. Bucks now 10-15 on the season. They played this game without Giannis and without A.J. Green as well. The positives were Kevin Porter Jr. and Kyle Kuzma again tonight. So continuing to lean into Kevin Porter Jr. and him now usurping Ryan Rollins as the revelation on this team. We'll dig a little more into that coming up after this on Bucks Talk.
The round ball repartee returns. This is Bucks Talk.
.124 to .112, the final tonight in Detroit. The Pistons take down the Bucks. Again, no Giannis, no AJ Green either. And you continue to play without Torian Prince as well. I don't want that to get lost in the shuffle because I think Torian Prince had a pretty good start to the season. And, you know, some of the things that he does rather well are things that you have missed all throughout the season. That one sounds even more long-term than Giannis. I know it's just indefinite, but I've heard some things, and I would just say, I mean, obviously neck surgery doesn't sound good, and it doesn't sound like it's a speedy recovery. So I would not hold my breath on seeing Torian Prince anytime soon, certainly before the calendar year flips to 2026, and then even then, who knows? But I mentioned Doc saying, you know, we're closer to being a good team. We are now closer to being a good team than we are a bad one. And I think it's really a couple of things there that prompts him to say that. You know, number one, and I think this is the way that all, or at least most, Bucks fans feel. And you go back to the game against the Miami Heat, the game against the New York Knicks the week of Thanksgiving. When Giannis was still out in that Heat game, you fought. You fought your tails off and competed. You can make a case the Bucks really should have won that game and had their opportunities, but just couldn't close the deal. And that's unfortunately become a trend with this team this season for a number of reasons. But we've heard Doc mention that too. Like, we've had the opportunity to close out games and we haven't. You know, you controlled most of the game against the Houston Rockets. You ultimately lost the game. You, I think you could say, played with your food a little bit against the Sacramento Kings, and you had chances down the stretch, but it was too little too late. You lost the game. The first game against the Philadelphia 76ers, you should have won in regulation, but instead it goes to overtime and you lose. So those types of games are starting to pile up, and they're still there. Even the next game, you had opportunities there in Giannis's return and some of the things, if you just executed better, it's a different story. But they are getting better at the little things and in the margins. But you unfortunately have to be better and win all of those things and not just some. So when we say, hey, we're closer to being a good team than we are a bad one now, I think part of that is, look, the Bucks have now started to piece together the offense that is going to get to the free throw line. And you know, I do think if we take a step back, you can examine this and say, well, maybe the pendulum swung too far in this direction. Shooting is important, right? Threes are worth more than two. But the modern math in the NBA has seemingly changed over the course of the last two seasons, season and a half, where, yeah, threes still carry value. Threes are still important. But we've seen a handful of games this season. The Bucks have been one of the teams where the team hits 20 or more threes and does so at a high rate and still loses the game. We've seen a handful of games where teams have hit single digits in threes and won the game. So what we're starting to learn now is while those are still important, what is more important is possessions. And that's where the Bucks started to dig this hole. You know, when we look at the season overall in this 10-15 record, that's where things started to go south, the possessions game. They're getting better in some aspects of that, but not all. And that's ultimately going to continue to plague you until that is corrected. Because, you know, look, without Giannis, even if you're going to play downhill more, you're going to get to the free throw line more. I don't know that you're going to consistently match or beat what your opponent is doing at the free throw line. And you just got to be within striking distance, right? Like, you just can't get run over like you were earlier in the season when the opponent is taking, you know, 10, 15, 20 more free throws than you, And not only that, the opponent's taking that much higher of a volume of attempts than you are, and you're not hitting your free throws. Like, you're not getting there at a high rate, and when you do get there, you're leaving a lot of points off the scoreboard, shooting below 70%. You've started to hit more, right? And if we're being honest, a big part of that is the guy that was driving a lot of those free throw attempts is a sub 70% free throw shooter, and he is gone for the next 2 to 4 weeks. But I don't know how sustainable that free throw figure is. Tonight it was basically a wash. You got one more attempt than the Pistons. They made one more shot than you. It's been that way for the last three games now. At some point, that's probably going to change, and you're going to have games where you're not getting that volume. Fouls is going to be an interesting thing. Like, at this point, I don't even care how frequently the Bucks are getting to the line. It's how frequently the opponents are getting there. And the way you get there, I've talked about this a couple of times already, and why I said maybe the pendulum swung too far in one direction is, you know, one of the reasons why up until the Warriors won the championship, when you would hear a lot of former players especially being extremely vocal and outspoken and critical of the quote-unquote jump shooting teams, that these teams can't win. You don't win playoff games taking threes and being a jump shooting team. You need a paint presence. You need to get into the paint, create looks there. You need to score in the paint. You need to hit mid-range shots, right? You just need to score inside the three-point arc. And you got to get to the free throw line. You got to move the scoreboard when the clock is stopped, especially in the playoffs. The way to do that is to be the aggressor and get into the paint. That's where you're going to draw fouls. Fouls on jump shooters is up so far this season. It's the highest we've seen since this started being tracked sometime in, I believe, the mid-90s. But it's not going to be anywhere near the volume of getting into the paint and attacking the rim. And that's why I say maybe the pendulum swung a little too far for the Bucks in the offseason and how you constructed this roster, the last couple of seasons, and how you constructed this roster, because you got a lot of really good shooters. But most of those shooters are primarily catch-and-shoot guys. Not so much guys that you would say, yeah, this guy can knock down threes, this guy can score at three levels, he can create his own shot, he can create looks for others. I wouldn't put A.J. Green there yet. You know, I would say Gary Trent Jr. has shown the ability to do it at times. I don't think he's consistently that guy. And on and on and on. Turnover is another big one. And again, I think many of you would be surprised to learn the Bucks are not even in the bottom 10 in turnover rate. They've been okay so far this season. The problem is when they're bad, they're really bad, and they're giving up points off of them because of their transition defense. You basically match the Pistons there tonight. So you look at that, where you match them at the free throw line. You match them in points off of turnovers and volume of turnovers. You basically match them in threes. You were more efficient and you made more. It was close. How do you lose this game? Rebounding. And when I say the identity, you're still searching for it. Your identity for 5 years, from the 2018-19 season all the way until the final season Mike Budenholzer was in Milwaukee, your identity was you were an excellent rebounding team. You were a very good defense. And you had an offense that was good enough. They could score in transition. Your half-court offense was good enough in the regular season. You felt like overall it was good enough in the playoffs. It certainly was in 2021. But then injuries started to pop up. Now, the identity of this team, I don't know what it is. And injuries are a part of that. But they have not been a good rebounding team. They have not been a good defense. And again, if you're going to give up the offensive rebounds that the Bucks did, a 42% offensive rebounding rate for the Pistons tonight, you are going to lose games because possessions are more important than threes. Offenses are more efficient than ever before. Look at the Bucks. Look at where their offensive rating continues to sit. Teams can score when they get the ball. So you want the ball more than you give up the ball. And tonight, you match the Pistons there. But the second chance opportunities, because of the turnovers that you won and because of the free throws being even, the Pistons did more with their offensive rebounds. 16 of them, and they scored 21 points off of those 16 offensive rebounds. That is the recipe for disaster, and that has frankly been there all season long. 855-616-1620, the Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. But a 10-15 start to the season now for this Bucks team that continues to search for answers. The good news is they got some layoff here, 4 days off to really start to search for that. But then the schedule picks right back up. Two of your next three against the Celtics and the Toronto Raptors. We'll preview those matchups and take a look at the rest of tonight's NBA scoreboard when we return on Bucks Talk.
This is Bucks Talk.
.124-112, final score tonight. Pistons take down the Bucks. Again, no Giannis, no A.J. Green either. We know Giannis is going to be a matter of weeks. We don't really have an idea on A.J. Green, so it's going to be a very interesting injury report next week when the Bucks return to the floor. So Wednesday's injury report, with Thursday being their next game. All the games played across the league tonight have gone final. This was back-to-back nights where there was no West Coast game. And I think the most notable thing that happened tonight is the continued ascent of Jalen Johnson, the Wisconsin kid who I think a certain portion of Bucks fans have started to heavily scout and say, well, if something were to happen, it wouldn't be too bad if we were able to bring Jalen Johnson home. But 30 points, 12 rebounds, 12 assists from Johnson, back-to-back triple-doubles for the Wisconsin kid who recorded another triple-double last night in a one-point loss to the Denver Nuggets, where he finished with 21 points, 18 rebounds, 16 assists, and two steals. And it was the second fastest triple-double in NBA history, behind only the guy that was on the other side of the floor, Nikola Jokic. So yeah, Jalen Johnson's ascent so far has been one of the bigger stories in the league this season. But games played tomorrow, there's some interesting ones. There's two big ones in the Eastern Conference. I understand there's something else that's happening tomorrow afternoon, a little bit north of here in mid-afternoon. But at that same time, you're going to have a very interesting game featuring two of the Bucks' next three opponents, the Raptors hosting the Celtics at 2:30. And before that, we got an 11 a.m. tip in New York for the Knicks and the Orlando Magic. So two big Eastern Conference games here and a chance to get a better look at the Celtics and the Toronto Raptors, who the Bucks have already seen twice in the case of the Raptors. But this Celtics team, again, they've gone 8-2 in their last 10 games. They're on a four-game win streak, which is currently the longest active win streak in the Eastern Conference. Everything is clicking for that team right now. Started the season 0-3, and you heard a lot of told you so, myself included. I said elsewhere, you know, I got to wonder, are the Celtics kind of quiet quitting on this season with the way they constructed their roster? And yet, here we are, 14-9 after an 0-3 start and a red-hot team with some big wins in their past few games. They beat the Lakers by 20-plus points. They beat the Knicks, the Cavs, the Timberwolves, or Timberwolves they lost, but played them tight. Pistons and the Magic, all in successive wins here. This team is playing really well, and that is going to be a challenge on Thursday night. Now, how much of the rest is going to help the Bucks? We've heard Doc Rivers say what we just mentioned. Like, they are starting to perform much better in some of those areas, the hustle categories, the margins, however you want to term it and phrase it, the areas that they're quite frankly going to need to win. They are playing better in some or even most of those, but you haven't really had a game this season where you look at it and you say they won all of those. That's what it's going to take to pull yourself out of this 10-15 hole, especially now as we're starting to see a lot more separation set in the Eastern Conference. If you look at it in terms of the loss column, which I always will cite versus the games back, and it's simple. Losses are already there. You can't erase them. You can add wins, but you can't do anything about the losses. They're there to stay. The Bucks have now dropped down to 11th in the Eastern Conference, and they're two losses behind the Bulls, who are 10th. But the troubling part of all of this is if you look at the first six teams in the Eastern Conference standings, the teams that would avoid the play-in tournament, the Bucks are closer to the Washington Wizards in the standings when you look at losses than they are any of those six teams. Miami, technically on the outside, they got 10 losses, but 9 losses for Philly, 9 losses for Orlando, 9 losses for Boston, 9 losses for Toronto. Bucks have 15 losses already. You have 6 more losses than those teams. You have 4 fewer losses than the last place Washington Wizards. You know, it's not a spot you want to be. And at some point, it gets to be too much for any team to overcome, but especially a team that's doing it while their best player, their superstar, and, you know, the best player in the conference and arguably the best player in the league is still on the shelf for a matter of weeks. We will wrap up the show, get you set for Thursday night. Again, some much-needed time off for this team. And then it's the Bucks and the Celtics on Thursday. We'll wrap things up and share our final thoughts after this on Bucks Talk. Tough one tonight for the Bucks, 124-112, the final score. And, you know, look, while you're playing without Giannis, and especially without Giannis and A.J. Green, you know it is a tall task in front of you. I think what you just want to see is the forming of good habits. You don't want a losing culture to set in. And why it's important to point that out is what we said moments ago, like, this is a different team. You know, you can't lean back on like, well, we know we have these guys that have been through it in other stops and we have a strong culture. It's not to say the culture isn't strong, but, you know, you have some guys that are now going to get used to losing. And that's what you look to avoid here in these spots. But, you know, tonight, I think if you're going to lose games, this is what you're looking for. We said the margin is very thin. The Bucks did win some of those categories. They didn't win enough of them. They competed. You saw the same thing against Miami. You saw the same thing against New York. Like, go do that. That's where you will learn a lot about this team and find a lot in some of the players that we've mentioned quite a bit. Kevin Porter Jr., Ryan Rollins, Jericho Sims, etc. 4 days off, and then it's the Bucks and the Boston Celtics next Thursday, this upcoming Thursday at Fiserv Forum. That's a 7 o'clock tip. 6:30 is when the pregame coverage begins, and as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. We will talk with you Thursday night.